They are dead. They're in death. Sometimes their bodies, the location is unknown. That's why the sea is mentioned, I think, because a lot of times people think, well, what if they're in the sea and their bodies are all eaten up by the fishes and, you know, what's going to be raised? As Paul said, thou fool, the body thou sowest is not the body that shall be. Of the dust of the earth he made a man, and into it he breathed the breath of life. Wherever you fall, just the local dust there, God could just bring together and bring a man back. I mean, this is God we're talking about. He can remake man out of whatever. Bring their souls back into a spiritual body even. Or a carnal body. You know, people, what kind of body is this? It doesn't say. I do not think it's the same resurrection as ours. And so to what degree it is, what body? I've heard people suggest, oh, it's the same body they were alive with, the mortal body. Whatever. Or if it's a spiritual body, it's totally a really moot point, you know, like which body are these dead going to be raised with? Because the dead spoken of in 1 Corinthians 15 is the dead in Christ. What body we will come with? We will come with the new body. Obviously, their old corpse, they're not going to be shown up as skeletons, but as in some sort of form that their soul can be alive. Because God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He will bring the souls back so that they can stand in judgment. They judge every man according to his work. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. So what we know as death and hell are coming to an end. As it says in the next chapter, there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. How can you have eternal torture when if there's no sorrow and crying? The way some pastors talk about it, you know, I don't know how they could ever get over it that some people ended up in hell. You know, because they're so sorrowful now. They'd be so vindictive and joyful then. I mean, because like I said, hey, you know, if you believe in that hell, I want to see you rejoice over it. Because you should. I rejoice over this. Not that I rejoice in that the trouble and all that is done, and that God's justice is served. You know, we need to believe in God's justice. We need to be, you know, if it is not good, then why does he do it? If it is not a good thing for them to die. This is the second death. And that very day, their thoughts perish. They will know nothing after that. And yes, as Isaiah wrote, you know, that where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched, yes, they will look on the carcasses. They won't be forgotten. But it does not say anything about torment here, you notice. They're just cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. There's something logically, if I say Satan is cast in the lake of fire and tormented, and I say, and then Johnny is cast in the lake of fire, it is not safe to assume that the same thing happens to both people when they're cast in.
Especially since Satan is not a man in the sense that we understand a man to be a man.
So, you know, because the inclusion of one is the exclusion of all others. If I say he is tormented, you can both be put in the same jail and not both be tormented. And I would like also to add that this is not a jail. People say, oh, you know, hell, that's like a prison. No, that's the bottomless pit. People confuse the different things the scriptures speak of. There's the bottomless pit. There's hell of the grave. But hell of the grave is spoken of throughout the Old Testament, and I'm working on a major paper on that as well, which you can look for in the next, you know, and sometime in 2014 it'll appear on oraclesofgod.org. Whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. They're going to be judged by their works, but if they weren't in the book of life, it's like, you know, yeah, you know what? Ultimately, I see you say you did this, you did that, you had this work, you made this discovery, you were this important dude, you helped the orphans here, and that's all fine and dandy. But you are not written in the book of life, the book of eternal life. So you do not get eternal life. And they were wroth. Is your eye evil because I am good? Is it not lawful for me to do with what is mine? Life belongs to God. It is his prerogative to give it to whosoever he wills. And there's nothing we do in this life that allows us to merit eternal life. One man asked Jesus, you know, what may I do that I may inherit eternal life? He says, well, you know the commandments, do that. He says, I've done that all from my youth. I've done all that. What do I lack? He says, okay, sell everything and follow me. He asked one thing beyond which the guy couldn't do. And that's the thing, is there's always one thing more that man cannot do to merit eternal life. We can do a lot of things. We can think we're pretty good. But the one thing more we lack, whatever it happened, because that's what I take from that. That's the lesson. The one thing further we lack. And there's always one more thing when it comes to us meriting it. We have to receive it by grace, by Him favoring us, by Him sending us His Spirit. There's nothing we can send up to God to get ourselves in the resurrection of life. It comes down. Every good gift comes down from God. Death and hell are going to be destroyed. They're going to be cast in the lake of fire. There will be no more death. As I said, the next chapter, one of the first things it says, there shall be no more death. Yeah, sorrow nor crying. There will be no more hell, no more grave. No more place where the dead wait for the resurrection. Because it will be the final resurrection and then no more death. I mean, is there going to be death in the universe and the stars? I don't know. It doesn't address all that. Will animals die? I don't know. Who knows? It's not really much to worry about. I'll be happy to just find out then. Is everything going to become immortal? I don't know. If you look back in the history of the world, at least the history that God has shown us, as far as what is in the rocks, it seems like it's been pretty violent. It might continue to be that way, but not for us. Not for the sons of God. No more death. No more sorrow. No more crying. The lake of fire removes all that. It doesn't create this unending sorrow, unending crying.
Permanent pain.
It is the thing that solves. It removes the final, things that are left over from this age of pain and sorrow. It's going to remove all that and make an end of it. And of all them that offend, of all them that do iniquity, of all those that do wickedness, who are not redeemed through Christ, that's the end right there. The second death.